another day, another dollar makes you wonder where your money went.
Hi, this is Jack Spirico with another edition of the Survival Podcast. One man's view of the changing world and changing economic times, and what we can do to live a better life if times get tough, or even if they don't. Now, you got me on a morning today, folks, on my standard 50-mile commute between Arlington and Frisco, Texas. We're actually getting a little bit of rain, that hurricane remnant from Dolly that wasn't supposed to get down here. The weather guesser, as is often the case, was wrong, and we had a little bit of rain. That's a good thing for us. We can use it. It'll probably hold our temperature down to about 100 degrees today. I'll let you know if I do another podcast today what the result of that was. Not maybe that you care, but again, I just believe that talking about the weather is something that friends do, so I occasionally give you a little weather report of what's going on down here, mention where I'm at. I want to build an association between us, kind of the rule of geography, they call it in sales, that says we're friends, and we know a little bit about each other. I know about you guys from what you've told me, from sending me emails, commenting on my blog, and using the feedback form on the blog. And you know about me from beyond just my topics, a little bit of information I give you here and there. And over time, hopefully, we become friends and we become part of a greater team working toward changing some things. And that's what this is really all about. I'm not an idealist. I don't think I can change the world. But I do think I can help people change their individual lives. If enough people do that, we do make a worldwide impact. But that's not really the goal. The goal is the individual that cares enough to do something about the situations that we're in today. On that note, we are going to talk about today something I really don't hear talked about very much in survival planning, especially, let's say, in the more fringe groups of the survivalist community, where maybe a little bit of paranoia lays, where people think that in a major disaster, a major come down by the government, whatever, martial law, any type of situation like that, that you are better off hiding. And you may be, but I still think there's a big place for having documentation for all your planning and having more than one copy of it. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. We're going to talk about how to use that with different family members so that if you end up in, you know, here's what we have to realize. The average American family today is a two-job family at least. You've got a wife and a husband, both generally work. Quite often they work in different directions away from the home. So during the middle of the day, they may be very, very far apart. For instance, I go 50 miles, my wife goes about 15 in the complete opposite direction. If something were to happen, a major catastrophe in midday, we're about 65 miles apart at that point. And it's something to consider, and it's a good reason to have written plans of your evacuation and your roles and what you would do in different scenarios and different assessments of the threats along the way. Equally, all the things I'm going to talk about today, I have no problem doing them with a computer. In fact, I prefer to use a computer for making plans like this, keeping records like this. Things like, you know, using a spreadsheet program like Excel or Google has a free, if you go to docs.google.com, they basically have a free version of Word and Excel that's online that you can use. So when it comes to making like phone lists and all, spreadsheets are great for that, and for other things, you know, Word is good for, you know, documenting things and keeping things organized and in order. The problem is, if you end up in a catastrophe, you may not be able to fire your computer up anytime you need to get some information out of it. So I believe in printing at least two copies of these out and having at least the heads of the household on both sides able to access a copy at any time. And it may make sense to keep an extra set for your kids or extended family members should you need to leave it behind for them. So that's kind of my disclaimer on that. Make sure that when you're making plans, when you're doing documentation, when you're taking these extra steps to make sure that you have plans laid out, that you're printing them out. And then the important thing is as they change, as you make modifications and adjustments to them, make sure that you replace the pages that have changed in your plan. So that's really important to do as well. That's why I kind of like using a three-ring binder and a hole punch to keep this information. That way, when you have new data or you have additional things that you want to insert, it's really easy to insert at wherever they need to go, and it's really easy to remove something that you've made major modification to. So I think as we're talking about documentation today, make sure you're thinking about that. Make sure you're thinking about having more than one copy of this stuff. So What do we document? I think, well, the first thing that we document, you may even want to do this with some printouts, like use Google Maps to provide route information, but your safe destinations and your routes to get there, multiple routes to get there. I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. It is important to have more than one way that you would get out of your city to get to any given location, 2 to 3 at a minimum as far as I'm concerned. Let's say that we all happen to be home, and terrorists dropped a dirty bomb or a nuke or something on Dallas. We decided, you know, we're not going to hunker in place here. We're getting out of here. Well, my main way out to Arkansas is on I-30, which runs right through Dallas. Kind of a sort of secondary route would be I-20 going south of Dallas, but I'm not really going to drive or want to drive within sight of the city if there's been a nuclear bomb set off there, and odds are I won't be able to. So another route might be up through Fort Worth and into Oklahoma that way, and that may not even work. I may have to go way out of my way. I may have to go to the south, but there's many different ways that we could get from here to there. They might take longer. They might go across greater distances, and they may need more fuel and things like that. But the reality is that there are ways to get out of here, and we have plans for how to do that. That's what I'm saying. That's what's important. So have those safe destinations and routes to get there documented very well, because you could very well end up in a case where, let's say, the main breadwinner ends up on the other side of the disaster, the head of the household, the guy or the woman, whoever's taking the initiative to do this stuff. Because a lot of times in couples, one side's really prepared, and the other side's kind of like, eh. Well, if you end up in that situation, the one that's less prepared at least could grab the documentation. Maybe they're the ones that can reach the house, and maybe you can't. They can use a packing list. We'll talk about that in a second. Get everything together. Take a specific route that's been communicated between the two sides and rendezvous at some point along the way and continue to do the evacuation together. Without that documentation, you've got, in a panic situation, one spouse trying to communicate to another spouse or possibly to a teenage child, hey, this is how to get out of there, even though right now you don't think you can get out of there because they told you they blocked everything off. Go in the direction you think you need to go. And I talked about this in the podcast I did yesterday a little bit, with having maps and plans in your vehicles. And that's part of doing this. But that plan is the biggest thing that can help keep people from totally freaking out and panicking in a situation that's really bad. And people that have that plan, that know, hey, I know what to do. Here's what I'm going to do now. This is my next step. People that have that kind of a plan in their head tend to do a lot better in those situations, because they understand, number one, what they do matters. And that's the number one rule to being a survivor, is understand what you do matters. And two, they know to do something. And that occupies their activity and their mind enough to stay clear and level-headed. So, so important. So that's why I put so much emphasis on this. The next thing I think you really need to do is document potential disasters. Sit down and do the dirty work of being a little bit paranoid and thinking about everything that could go wrong at all in your area. Down to losing your job, or having you and your spouse lose your job, having your savings wiped out at the same time. Come up with everything you can that could go wrong. I'm talking from a meteor impact to a Yellowstone volcanic eruption to a hurricane to a tornado to a major blizzard to a major ice storm to a terrorist attack on a city near you or in your area, biological, chemical, nuclear, every nightmare, big giant nightmare to little tiny disaster scenario you can come up with. Just write that down on a piece of paper, put it on a computer, whatever. Then start ranking them in the order of probability. Meteor impact would be probably very much to the bottom of the list. Being laid off from a job, or having, if you have your own business, having maybe your sector tank and not having that income available might be very, very, very close to the top of the list. Things like a terrorist strike might be somewhere to the middle of the list. It's up to you to form your own assessment. My big reason for doing this, though, is it helps you prioritize your planning. Plan for the most things that you feel, and trust your instincts and your gut and your current situation and all the knowledge you have. Rank the things that are most likely to happen at the top. Begin your planning around those and work your way down the list, because you can't do all these things at once. It's impossible to sit down in one day and write a complete plan for every scenario. It's impossible for in one day to get all the provisions and all the planning and everything. You don't have the money, you don't have the time, you don't have the resources to do it all at once. So all of this planning has to be done in small bites. The old, you know, the old parable, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And it's amazing how fast you go through an elephant if you do it one bite at a time. This is a giant, huge elephant. This is a woolly mammoth, folks, that you're dealing with here. It's a tremendous undertaking to get completely prepared for all these scenarios. So it just makes sense to prepare for the most likely things first. So after you kind of make that list, then document your responses. What is the first thing you do if nuclear bomb goes off in Dallas, Texas? Mostly, you know, for me. Most likely it is we turn on the radio and the television and begin to collect information and immediately begin to collect all the items that we need for our 1 hour or less evacuation plan. We get that ready. We're going to make a decision whether we're going to go or not really, really fast. But the first step is to start gathering and collecting information. How big is the disaster area? What is the initial assessment of the area that it's going to be spread over? What direction is the prevailing winds going? So, you know, there's nuclear fallout drifting. If it's drifting away from us and toward our retreat, we may be better off staying in place. So that's the first step in our assessment, is to begin gathering information and begin making our collective efforts to get ready to get out of there in case that's what we have to do. All right? Very, very simple plan, but it's specific, and we know what we're going to do for that scenario. If you lose a job, who's the first person you're going to call to look for another one? You know, do you have an updated resume? I mean, some of this stuff is like really heavy survivalist stuff, and some of this is really practical stuff. Having a plan for each one of these things. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's where my cash reserves are to make it through this time. Here's how long I can make it. Right? Here's where my food supplies are at. Here's how long I can make it. Here's what I'm going to do. So go through each one of these. Document that. Keep that there. You know, if this happens, we'll be most likely to take evacuation route A, B, or C to go to the following destination. Because let's say there was a major disaster that was on the Dallas side of things here that affected the Arkansas, southwest Arkansas area, we might head completely west and go find a place to hole up, or we might hole in place. We would have different evacuation plans and different overall planning for different events. So that's what I'm recommending you do, is make a plan for everything. Make a plan. Just write it down. It doesn't cost anything to do this. Keep that with your documentation. And that way, if you have, let's say, a family member who's just not into this stuff, especially an extended family member, you know, you can leave that behind for them. Maybe make sure they have a key to your home. And you can say, look, when you are ready to get out of here, when you are ready to get on board with what needs to happen now, complete documentation and everything that you need is at our house. Or, you know, maybe you keep a copy with them and say, you know what, don't even open this thing until you need to. If you don't want to. If you don't want to be part of this, humor me, keep it in your hands. So you can be part of our plan to get out of here. That's why it's important to have these things. And the other thing is, it allows, again, teenage children that a lot of times are left to themselves to take care of things, but maybe are not old enough to be completely, totally responsible for themselves yet, but they have a car or something like that. If they end up in a situation where they're separated from you, they have, you know, they know what to do, where to go, how to get there, and how to rendezvous with you so that you guys can get out together. It's very, very important. The next thing you need to have is a list of everybody that you might need to contact in any one of your emergencies. That's why I suggest you document all your emergencies first, because that'll start to make, well, I need to call this person, or I need to get in touch with that person. I need to contact my, you know, maybe it's I need to contact my broker if this happens and say, I want to go 100% into cash right now, this second, don't delay, do it. That might be the entire response to one thing you consider an emergency. It's just conversion to cash. Right, or conversion to another currency, whatever it is. You have to make these decisions for yourself. Remember, I'm not a financial advisor, and nothing I do is financial advice, but that's just one scenario that I'm talking about, down to being able to call an uncle, an aunt, a cousin, a brother, a sister, a friend, and say, hey, look, you need to get out of where you're at because your area is being threatened right now. this is where you need to go. We'll help you out. Whatever those things are. Or we need to come stay with you, Uncle Tom, because we're screwed. And we just had our entire house wiped out. We're on the way. Is that okay? Do I need to call somebody else? Can you put us up for a couple days? From the most practical to the most disastrous, you're going to need to have every person's method of communications you can get to. And people that you know that still have home phones, landlines, instead of just relying on a cell, have that. Have their email addresses. Have every means of communication to them documented so that you or one of the family can start making calls or start sending emails or start doing whatever you need to do when something goes wrong. And remember, a lot of times what we're planning for, we can come up with all these scenarios of what might go wrong. What actually does go wrong ends up being something that's totally not what we had planned for. If you think about 9/11, the Federal Aviation Association, the government, the military, had all types of planning. That we never saw that threat coming. Some conspiracy theorists think we did, but in reality, at least the individual here on the ground, we had no idea that that would happen. The only reason those guys were able to hijack planes with mace and box cutters is because people were conditioned that when somebody hijacks a plane, that you comply. If somebody tried to do that today, you'd have six guys with box cutters completely torn apart and beaten to death by several hundred passengers. You would never be able to get away with it today because the stakes of the game have changed. So a lot of times understand that when you're making all these plans, you're making all these preparations, you're doing the best you can because we really don't know what's going to happen or how it's going to occur or what's going to happen next. Because of that, having this documentation of all these contacts is important. You may be in your family, and especially in your extended family, the only person with your head around this. And if you care about your family, you're going to want to do what you can to relay information to them and say, okay, I know you always thought I was a survivalist nut, but now you see why I've done this. Here's what you need to do. Or, you know, if you have family that does get it, and you're in a situation where you have planned cooperation, both of you are now able to get in touch with each other by multiple means to plan your next step. Do not leave that out. Keep that type of documentation in your vehicle, in your bug out bag, and in your main documentation that you keep in the house or anywhere else with all this other stuff. Keep it on your computer. All right, keep all that information. It's very important. Also, and I kind of alluded to this already, it's important to have evacuation packing lists. And we have prioritized our needs around our packing lists. And basically, if we got to get out now, this second, this is the can't wait, gotta go right now. Grab and go 15 minutes or less. It's what's in the vehicles, it's the bug out bags, and it's anything else that we see on the way out the door that we think can help us. All right? And then we have a more extensive packing list that we had, let's say, up to an hour as we're collecting information, learning about what's going on, and getting ready to get out. And we have a one-day evac list, which is a lot more extensive and a lot more packing. And because of that, we'll always have the most important things that would be available for us to take with us under any given set of circumstances, because everybody will know what to do, what to grab, even where to put it. Which vehicle does it go in? Is this a one vehicle or two vehicle evac? Are we going to be able to get out of there with two vehicles, or are we going to take just one of them? Which one are we going to take? What goes into it? Where does it go? Does it go into the bed of the truck? Does it go in the back of the truck? All right? Those things are very, very important. And again, by having that plan, you respond better to the situation and you don't panic. Because panicking in these situations is the absolute worst thing you can do. It's kind of like being bitten by a snake. I mean, what you have to do in these situations is keep your cool, stay level-headed, and take the appropriate action. Being panicked will end up making you dead a lot faster. Being calm and cool will often get you through the situation and let you come out the other side of it in very good shape. That's really important. Another thing you really should document is the role for every family member. What do you do? What does your spouse do? And if you have older children, what do they do? And make sure that they know how to do that. Okay? If it's a person that's not going to be proactive in planning with you, that's not going to get on board with a spouse, it's just or a teenager, it's like, whatever, Dad. Make sure what you plan for them is something they don't need to have any special skills to do, but they could do. That you could just bark out an order and say, okay, now you see, okay, this, and this. So make sure you have all those roles for each family member documented. This also allows people to step up and take over what you can't do if you don't happen to be there. If you end up away from the home while this is going on, even if you're able to return to the home before you either directly respond by holding up or getting out, the family can begin the preparations that they weren't prepared to do alone because you've made good documentation. So having those roles of each family member documented are important. It'll keep you straight, too. Even if you're there to control the situation, it'll help you, because you might not remember that your son is supposed to, you know, maybe go upstairs and collect the bedding together off the beds, pack that up, put it into a case, and get it into the back of the pickup truck. You might forget that, because as planned ahead as you are, when something really bad happens, we all tend to forget little details. So by putting the documentation into place, you're putting a check on the entire system so that it can run efficiently. This is all very military-oriented, folks. I learned all of this stuff during my 3 years in service in the Army to have these type of plans. The next thing you need to have is the location of your financial stuff. Where all your accounts are, who to contact about them, things like that. I don't think you should have in this type of documentation your account numbers or anything that can be used to actually access your money. What you need to have is the information that you need to be able for you to be able to take steps to access your money and your funds. So again, that would be things like if you have a broker, his phone number. If you have a bank, their phone number. How many accounts you have in different banks and things like that. A lot of times one spouse, just like, you know, survival situations, a lot of times a survivalist minded one doesn't really think about finances very well, doesn't keep that stuff together well. So the other spouse may be more in touch with, like, okay, we actually have two checking accounts. We use one for this and one for that. We have two savings accounts, maybe. We use one short-term, one long-term savings, and we have our retirement. We have, mutual funds, whatever. We have some stocks. We have a safety deposit box here. Whatever that is, all of that information needs to be available, and maybe you put that in some sort of a coded way where it would be really obvious to anybody in the immediate family what you're saying. But that if a criminal were to find it, it would be much more difficult for them to understand even what's there. And you need to make sure that what's there is not sufficient to go get your funds. And what I mean by that is, if I told you that I have an account with Frost Bank, that doesn't do you any good. Okay? So what? If I tell you I have an account with Bank of America, you can't just go to Bank of, just pick a Bank of America and go, I'd like Jack Spirko's money. They're not going to give it to you. You know, you're going to need a lot more information than that. So I don't think you put into this document group Social Security numbers, account numbers, anything like that. But just a general assessment, these are all the things that we have so that they can be found, especially if one of you gets, I hate to say this, but if one of you gets killed. I mean, this is good information to have anyway. You might want to have very specific information, a complete financial map in a locked firebox in the home. That's probably a really good idea because that way that entire box can be grabbed. You want to hide that. You want to make that as secure as possible. That information is extremely delicate, extremely valuable. But if one spouse dies or if both spouses are killed, I mean, just think of not even being emergency planning here. And I don't mean to be a downer about this, but if something happens to you and your spouse and you know, your sister-in-law, brother-in-law, whatever has to step in, your sister, your brother, grandparent, and assume responsibility for your kids, making sure that they can just find everything that you have as a means of support, including a will. Very, very important. And then in a survival situation, you also need to be able to access whatever assets you have, so that's important as well. Another thing that I think it's overlooked, and I think Katrina taught us a lot about this, is plan for your pets. You know, a lot of people, their dogs, their cats, they're like members of the family. I mentioned before, I'm a breeder of snakes, and all but the longest-term evacuation plans do not include taking any of my snakes. I'm sorry. They're probably going to have to fend for themselves if I have 15 minutes to get out of my house. But I'm not leaving my dogs. I'm not leaving my cats. They have their own evacuation kit. They have kennels for the cats that they can go in. The dogs just are basically going to be in the back of the truck with the boy, and we're on out of there. But it's important to plan for your pets and document that planning. You know, you keep reserve food for yourself. Keep reserve food for your pets. Maybe they eat really expensive food, and maybe you just take a big giant sack of dry food and keep that in reserve. Maybe it's not something they really want to eat, but they'll eat it if they get hungry enough. And you can always donate that stuff, if nothing else, if you don't want to rotate it. If you want to keep some very large, sacks of food, you know, keep them for 90 days, 6 months, something like that. Go buy new ones. Take the old ones down to the SPCA or Humane Society or something like that. They will be happy to take that stuff off your hands and put it to good use. But just make sure you have plans and reserve food for your pets. It's very, very important, because it would be a heartbreaking situation. And a lot of times for a kid especially, having the family dog in an emergency with them makes them feel a lot more comforted. And you may have to focus on things beyond providing comfort. As much as you'll want to comfort them, you may have to focus on driving, getting out of Dodge, what have you. A lot of times a kid being able to throw his arms around a Labrador Retriever, I'm telling you folks, it makes all the difference in the world. And that'll help out a lot as well. So just make sure you have that plan. I also think that it's a good idea for any of the survival guides, tip sheets, fact sheets, plans, anything like that you have on your computer that you might need if you ever have to bug out to a retreat or remote location or something like that, that you think you might rely on, that you think are valuable. Print copies of them out and maybe have a whole section of your document book that's just for things like that. You know, if you have documentation on how to build things, how to make things, how to adapt to situations, print that stuff out. And you might want to keep, like, good survival books, and I've been asked to recommend some. One of my favorites is by a guy named Tom Brown. It's Tom Brown's Survival Guide. He has a version for wilderness survival, and he has a version for urban survival, and there's a book that has the two of them together. If I can find it on Amazon, I'll link to it from this podcast, the show notes that go with this podcast for you. But I like that combined book, because it's all in one place. It's a fairly large, heavy book, but keeping a copy of that in one of your vehicles is probably a good idea, you know, and reading something like that. So anything like that, though, that you have on the computer, get a printed out copy and keep that with your documentation. Because, again, you may not be able to fire up your computer. You may be without power. So those are kind of my ideas for documentation and what you really need to do with them. And hopefully this has been a good show for you, because I think this is really an important topic. And again, it's something I just see completely and totally ignored many times by people. And especially the concept of having multiple copies printed out and having something you might leave behind for someone else. Because again, people often in these situations think about evasion and escape. And while I do think if you're on an evacuation, you should look as unprepared as possible to the surrounding people. You should be armed and look unarmed. Be prepared and look unprepared. Blend into the surroundings. Blend into the background. Don't stand out. Forget the camo. Don't look like a big, tough survivalist. Look like somebody shambling across that needs to be ignored. That's the best way to get through and survive and protect your family. All right? But that doesn't mean that you need to hide from everybody. There may be people that can help you or people that you can help that you need to communicate with. And there may be family members that you have planned to get out with that just you can't get directly to them. And maybe only one side can get to a place to pick up provisions or pick up the things that need to go on an evacuation. Maybe you can't do that and you'll have to allow them to take on that role. That documentation is what's going to allow that. And again, the biggest thing about this is it'll help you fill in holes, fill in gaps. Because as you start writing this stuff down, you'll start to realize where you're the weakest, and you can start shoring that up. You'll start realizing the things that are most likely to occur, and you'll plan for those first. You'll start to take it more seriously, and then if something does go wrong, you'll keep your head. You'll play it safe, and you'll play it logical, and you'll do what needs to be done because you won't panic. The next thing I want to do before I sign off for the day, I want to, again, remind everybody about our listener appreciation contest. You can win a free iPod Nano. All you have to do is go to thesurvivalpodcast.com, fill out one simple form, and agree to tell at least one person about and recommend the Survival Podcast to them by any of the methods listed there. More details, again, are available at thesurvivalpodcast.com. And again, you can go to thesurvivalpodcast.com and comment on this episode or any other episode. tell me what you think was left out, things that you would add. I don't claim to be a complete expert on all of this, and honestly, in a podcast, you're never going to get every single item into any of these lists or preparedness actions or anything like that. So by working together, we could be more complete and more thorough in making sure that everybody that's involved with the Survival Podcast does the best planning for their individual needs. Thank you again for tuning in today. Again, I'm Jack Spirico, and remember, here at the Survival Podcast, we're here to help you live a better life if times get tough, or even if they don't.
You can scream, and you can holler, it really doesn't matter, 'cause it all gets spent.